Okay, we're on Daf Chaf Aleph on the base at the bottom of the page. Today's Daf is Daf Chaf Beis in Peah, Perek Sheni, Halacha Dalet. So we mentioned that if you have two types of wheat, that it would depend on what you decided to do. If you were going to make it one goren, then you could take Peah from one part of the wheat on the all on both subtypes. Or if you were going to make two goronos, if you were going to make, for instance, if you had dark wheat and white wheat, and you were going to make a goren out of the white wheat, so then you could only take peah from the white wheat, and then when you would make a goren from the dark wheat, so then you would make a separate peah for the dark wheat. So the Gemara is going to talk about these cases. Chatzar, chatzi igdol, chatzi shemusis. So he started off with these two types of wheat. So he has white wheat and brown wheat. So if he cut half the field of the white wheat and half of the field of the brown wheat, and he had in mind he's going to make them garanachas, meaning that he's going to harvest them all in one shot. So now let's just remember what that means. That means when I say I'm going to make them garanachas, what I really mean is that I'm going to cut down both sides, and whatever side I end up with, I'll leave the pay of that field, be it white wheat or be it brown wheat, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Whatever I end up with during the harvest, I leave a little bit over, and that will be good for both types of wheat. Now, that was my original intent when I started cutting it. So I cut half of the white, half of the brown. Then I changed my mind in the middle of the job, and I decide, you know what, I'm going to make shtei goronos. I'm going to make the remaining half of the white wheat and the remaining half of the brown wheat. I'm going to make them separate. I'm going to make the brown separate and the white separate. So what do you do then? So now we're on Chav Beis Amun Aleph. So eino mafresh min ha'igdo al hashmutis, lo batchilo v'lo basof, which means that you can't give pay from the white wheat for the brown wheat, not for the first half of the harvest, nor for the last half of the harvest, meaning we follow your final intention. And since you wanted to make two separate harvests for the two species, each is going to require its own payah. Now let's take the opposite case. Let's suppose chatzar chatzi ha'igdo v'chatzi ha'shmutis, la'asoshan shtei granos. He started off with half of the white and half of the brown, and his intention was to make it into two goronos. And then in the middle, he decides, no, you know what? I'm not going to do it all separately. I'm going to do it all in one shot. He's going to make it one goren. So mafresh min ha'igdo shabasof al hashmuta shabasof. So there you can give payoff from the white wheat on the second half for the brown wheat of the second half, and so on and so forth. Min ha'igdo shabatkhila hashmuta shabatkhila, the white wheat of the first half for the brown wheat of the first half. Because we follow always your final intention. Whatever you decide at the end, that's the main. So therefore, if you decided to make it into one pay, as you did in this case at the end, so you only have to give a harvest at the end. Now, here it gets a little more complicated. If you give a payah from white wheat for the white wheat, that's only if you've completely harvested the field. If you haven't finished completely harvesting the field, then you may not give payah from the harvested wheat, even from the white wheat for the white wheat. In other words, in the event, we were talking about all the time here till now, we were talking about where you had not completed the harvest. The Gemara is now talking about a case where, let's suppose you taka harvested the whole field. Now, what do we say? We said earlier in the Masechta that if you harvested the whole field and you didn't leave it pekama, you didn't leave it standing, then in that case, we always say that you have to give it bekotzer. You have to give in the sheaves. So in other words, you don't get out of it just because you forgot to give it while it was standing. Look how Kehila is supposed to do it while it's standing. But the other, if you were over and you didn't leave it while it was standing, you have to give it while it, from whatever is left over in the sheaves. And if you didn't remember to give it in the sheaves, you have to give it even if it turns into bread. Those are the rules. So let's see. So let's see what this last statement is. So the Gemara here is basically saying that if you this rule that you can give from the wheat that you've already harvested, this din is only if you've completely harvested your field. Obviously, if there's some stuff that's been left standing, you must use the stuff that is standing to use it for payah. You can't use the stuff that you've harvested for. So now we have a related case. You went ahead and you cut half the white wheat and all the brown wheat, and your intention was, you were intended to go ahead and make it all one threshing. So now the only place you're going to be able to take this from is from the white wheat, because the brown wheat has all been cut. You have some white wheat that's still standing. You're going to have to take the white wheat, because that's the only thing that's left for the chov of peya. But then it was nimlach. You changed your mind. You decide you're going to make it two separate harvests. So now you've really got yourself into a quandary here, because in that case, we go bust your final machshava. You have to use white wheat for white wheat and brown wheat for brown wheat. But brown wheat at that point had all been harvested. So at the time that you harvested all the brown wheat, at that point you were supposed to take from the white wheat, which was still standing, for that brown wheat. But now you change your mind for the white wheat. So now the white wheat becomes like a separate min. Now you can't use the white wheat for the brown wheat. So what happens? So Yishalmi says a big chiddush over here, according to the pshat that he says in the bottom. It's mafresh min igdal igdal. You can take from the unharvested white wheat for the harvested white wheat. But all the brown wheat, kalashim, with just the whole entire crop of the brown wheat, is niftara, is completely potter. Means there's nothing you can do, because you can't use the white wheat anymore, because you made it shtei geronos. You can't take from the brown wheat on itself. And here's the big chiddush, because even though normally you can take on a wheat, once you finish, if you were over and you cut the whole thing down, you can take from that which is already harvested. But this wheat, at the time it was completely harvested, already had some of its other min, which was considered minachas, still standing. And therefore, you didn't have that option. When you don't have that option, it becomes completely potter. See footnote 5, second paragraph, for more elaboration on this point. Okay, now we're on Kabez Amid Beis. Amr Abzeira. So Abzeira says the following. Remember, they didn't know what to do. There's a mice brought, and they went to Nachum Halavlar, and they went to the Lishkas Hagazis, and they found a halakha mishmisina that this is the rule. Amr Abzeira, Mishem Yerechim, and Bas Halakha Tachas Yedechim, and Yedea Mativa. If you don't know what the halakha is, you don't know the exact reason behind it. Don't divert it to anything else. To give your own reason. There are a lot of halachas which were said to Moshe, but chulhan mushukayis by Mishnah. They're all incorporated into the Mishnah, meaning that sometimes there are halachas in the Mishnah which you may not know, you may not understand exactly, but you never know. It could have been a halacha of Moshe Sinai, which doesn't necessarily have a reason behind it. It could be, let's see, in footnote 3 it says, if you come across a halacha in the Mishnah that he does not understand, he shouldn't try to explain it on his own. Rather, he should search for a tradition that explains the Mishnah. Even if he finds no such tradition, he should realize there are halachas in the Mishnah that have their source in the halacha of Moshe Sinai, for which no reasons were given. Halacha of Moshe Sinai is like the Gemara where he says, halacha hi in a kabel. If it's a halacha, meaning if it's a tradition, then we'll have to accept it. But if we're dealing with logic, then we have a tshuva, we have a logical question. But for halacha of Moshe Sinai, you can't ask logical questions. You just have to accept it. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Amar Abavin, v'yosi, it's true, shnei minichitim. In this case, we have two varieties of wheat, ilulei shabban nachum, v'n pir shlomo yodim hayinu. If it wouldn't have been that Nachum came and explained that this was halacha Moshe Sinai, we would have tried to explain this on our own, and then we wouldn't have gotten it right necessarily. Now the Gemara is going to try to explain a pasuk in, I think it's Hosea, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double check here. Where's this pasuk? Yeah, it's Hosea, parakas, pasuk yud beis. It says, Echtav lo rubei turasi. I'm going to write, or I have written for him, meaning for Klal Yisrael, the majority of the laws of my Torah. that they have regarded as foreign. That's the English translation of the Raymid or the Pasuk. So he says the Pshuto Shomikra is Hashem's complaining, although he sent many Nevi'im to give Klal Yisrael Musar, but we didn't listen. But we're going to interpret it a little bit different, how a large portion of the Torah was written down. So Hashem is saying, although the majority of the Torah's laws are written down, but they nevertheless they're foreign to Klal Yisrael, meaning that that Klal Yisrael is not following them. So Gemara says, "V'chiruba shel Torah nechtava," is the majority of the Torah laws indeed written down? That's not true. The Torah shebaal peh is much larger than the Torah shebiksav. Ela merubin hein advarim hanidrashim naksav. Okay, so hopefully that phone call didn't get recorded. I'm pretty sure it doesn't continue recording, but hopefully it didn't. Anyway, that what it means, that rov of the Torah is written down, it means the law is derived from learning out halachas through the Yugam Amidah Shatar Nidrashas Bahem, that those are more than the Dvarim HaDedrashim and HaPem, meaning they're more halachas from the Yud Gam Amidus than the halacha L'Moshem Yisinai. Halacha L'Moshem Yisinai is very limited. I think the Rambam lists all of them in like one paragraph. Anyway, V'cheini, is it really true that the majority of the Torah is written? Ela Keini, so we have another shot. So it doesn't mean that there's more. We're not talking about volume. We're talking about whether it's chaviv. The oral law is more dear than the written law. Okay, now we have a third interpretation now. Reb Yudah ben Pazi Yomer, Echtov lo rubi tarasi, el hatochachos, that this is referring to the Teichachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote for Klal Yisrael in Vayikra and Dvarim. Afilo Cain, from Ozar Nechshavu, they didn't listen to them. They were like regarded as foreign. They didn't take it to heart. Fourth interpretation, Amar Bavin, Iluli Kasati Lach Rubi Tarasi. If I would have written for you the majority of the Torah, Lo from Ozar Nechshavu, would you not have been considered like foreign? Because in other words, if the whole Torah Shabbat Pet would have been written down, then the Umos Ha'olam could have also written it down, or they could have copied what we wrote. They could have studied what we wrote, what was written. So then there will be no difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umos Ha'olam. Ma Beinon LeUmos. What would be the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umos Ha'olam? Elam Motzian Sefrayim. Klal Yisrael would produce their books. Ve'elam Motzian Sefrayim. And the Goyim would produce their books. Elam Motzian Diftereihen. They would produce their parchments. Ve'elam Motzian Diftereihen. The Klal Yisrael would produce their parchments. So that means, in footnote 16, written works can be copied and become available to everybody. Oral tradition remains among the bearers of the tradition. So that's what distinguishes Klal Yisrael from the Umos Ha'olam, not the Torah Shebiksav, but the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what gives us a certain uniqueness. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Reb Chagi, b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman, nemru dvarim b'peh, words of Torah were said orally, v'nemru dvarim b'ksav. There were words that were said in writing. We don't know which one is more chaviv, Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu, the ones which are written or the ones which are bal peh. El menemad ksiv, there's a pasuk that says, Ki al pi adorim ha'ele, karati itcha bris. Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu says that he was karis bris, al pi adorim ha'ele. Ves Yisrael, with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, and with Klal Yisrael. So since it says al peh, and that sounds like al peh, hador amro, oisin shebe peh chavivin. The ones which are al peh are more chavit. Now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yudim, Rabbi Shimon, had amar, im shimartu mashebe peh, if you kept that which is bal peh, v'shimartu mashebe ksav, and you keep that which is written, also you have to keep both Torahs, Torah shebe ksav, Torah shebe peh, and ikaris in chabris, I'll establish a bris with you, v'mlav, but if you're not going to safeguard both of them, you can't just watch one Torah. Any curse of Chabris, you have to watch both Torahs. So Chadamar, Mishimata Mashav Peh, Vikianta Mashav Ksav, Atom Kabbal Skar, but Mavi Mishmakabal Skar. He's focusing more on the Skar rather than on the Bris. With this, we finish Dav Chav Beis in the Yerushalmi.